On 11.16 SEM, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence for the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball, the ball that changed the ball.
Did change the ball as well. It's an absolute beauty, the Chrome Soft. If you haven't tried it out yet, get down to your local Drummond's Golf or the House of Golf or get down somewhere, your local PGA professional, and have a crack at the Chrome Soft because it's a beauty. Big show tonight. Have a look at the 99 Masters champ. Good to see you, buddy.
You like my jumper a little bit better tonight, Marco? Don't have the leather patches.
When are you going to bring the gold jacket in? You keep on saying
We've done that to death, mate.
I wasn't here, mate.
Huh?
When are you going to bring it in? I'd like you to bring... Well, I think we might have done it when there was no Twitter around. People want to see you looking dorky as hell in your gold jacket. Why can't we do that?
Speaking of dorky as hell, what about that fight this week on the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
Huh?
Now...
That was highlight of the year for me. Highlight of the year.
Keegan Bradley, who is unlikable as a person and a golfer.
As a human being.
Oh, he's unlikable,
yes,
mate. And what's his name? Jimenez.
Jose.
The Menace.
Yep.
Yeah, it was funny.
I like the way Keegan got within an inch of his face.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimenez didn't back up at all. He just kept waving his rude Spanish hands around.
So Keegan went with the bluff. He went with the big bluff, and the Spanish man just stood his ground. So tough, those golfers. It was
What was the funniest part about that for you? That whole thing? The body language? What was the funniest part?
The funniest thing for me was that Russell Swanson, who is an Australian,
he was the guy.
He was the one in the middle of it. Russell Swanson. Now, we love Russell. He's a champion. But would not hurt a fly.
Yeah.
And I reckon
he'd
be more likely to run away from that incident than anything else.
I love when Keegan stormed up to him, and then his caddy storms up beside him. And he stood it, and Keegan's waved him. He's gone, go away. And he got marched back to his bag to look after.
Hey, we've got a massive show tonight. We've got a massive show. And the reason we have a massive show is because something extraordinary happened in Victorian golf. And we'll get to that a little bit later. We've got Ashley Marshallini, who's the Director of High Performance here at Golf Victoria. We've got Olivia Klein, who was the captain of the under-18 girls team. We've got Joe Charlton, who was the captain of the women's team.
Yep.
Ben Eccles, the captain of the men's senior team. And Ryan Ruffles, who was doing some crazy stuff. 10 under par through 15 holes in some of the matches. So everyone will have their say tonight. And they will each tell their little story of how they made history happen. Because it's never been done before. In fact... It's unimaginable. You've played state golf. I played one junior series a long time ago. Yeah. And to actually win a state series when you're playing amongst either the best juniors or the best senior players in your state, I mean, a lot can go wrong, mate. A lot can go wrong and you can really stuff it up, but it didn't happen.
And what I most remember, Marco, I was lucky enough to win one, whereas not, you know,
you won a state.
To win four. Won a state series.
Yeah. Who was in your team?
Ogilvy, Stephen Allen,
you,
Paul Fitzgibbon, me.
How could you lose?
We had a good team. A good team. Maybe not as good as this team, but it was up there.
Time will tell.
But I remember 36 holes 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
Now, the average punter doesn't realise how much golf that is, but that's probably walking close to 20 odd Ks a day.
Did you have caddies?
And concentrating for 8 hours.
Did you have caddies?
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah. A couple of guys that missed out would caddy, but also a couple of other people floating around.
Can I tell you my sad story?
Yeah.
In 1986, I was in the Victorian under-21 team.
Yep.
And I was a 16-year-old, and I only played 3 matches of the 6. Victoria lost by half a game.
Oh.
I was always up with 3 holes to play. Lost 2 and halved 1.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a
bad
tough
feeling.
Week.
Bad feeling.
What happened? That week?
I played Shane Tate. Shane Tate birdied the last 3 holes one day. That was impossible, Shane Tate. He just went birdie, birdie, birdie and beat me. And I was at
Brisbane Golf Club.
Well, you think back to, isn't it amazing golf? I mean, yeah, it was at Brisbane Golf Club. You're right. Isn't it an incredible golf that is played? I mean, some people that have gone down to Huntingdale and Royal Melbourne and all the other places, the golf that is played in match play, not only in this but in pennant golf as well, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yep.
It is ridiculous. Hey, have you got your top 10 list tonight?
Not ready yet. We'll do it later.
What are you doing tonight? Because we'll get to this a little bit later in the program.
My top five hated golfers in the world to watch play golf. So tour players. Top five.
But it's a top 10 list.
You told me to do top five, Marco, so don't start that rubbish. Throw me under the bus 2 weeks in a row.
Righto.
See where that gets you.
Let's move along.
All right.
Because Ashley Marshall is here and also Olivia Klein. And it's a big congratulations from everyone here at 1116 SN and all the golf-loving public in town. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Marco.
And Olivia, we'll get you on nice and early. Olivia, look at the big smile. Congratulations. You've captained a winning under-18 women's team. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I'm really happy for the team. And, you know, it's kudos to Golf Victoria for getting the four-peat, which was exciting.
Yeah, the four-peat's ridiculous. And you're going to be a big part of history. Now, Ashley Marshall, who I've known for a long, long time, I spoke to him out in the green room, and he said that you guys weren't ranked very high before the tournament started. In fact, you were ranked right at the bottom.
Explain
how you won.
Well, because we were ranked fifth out of fifth, I think we were a bit shocked in that sense. You're ranked on behalf of your Golf Australia ranking, so we had a few new members into the team, and, you know, I'm really happy that we actually got away with the win. So, what happened to us is we ended up playing 36-36 2 days in a row because we were ranked fifth, and we had a bye on the last day and we were guaranteed to win, so, yeah.
Very, very nice. Now, Olivia, I spoke to Darren Cole, who is your coach, correct?
Yes.
And he said to me, you guys played, all of you, every one of you played about as well as you could for the whole week.
Yeah,
and he said he's never seen a team perform that highly over an entire week. And that's a pretty serious impression.
So what happened? Tell us what happened. Why did you play at such a high level?
I don't know. I think we sort of went in there being sort of not going anywhere. We weren't in there expecting to win. We were just expecting it, going in there thinking, okay, let's see how good we can go. And, you know, we played WA and SA the first day and we were like, oh, well, two wins out of the first two rounds. We're like, okay, well, we'll just keep going. And
momentum.
Yeah, and then we had the tough day in the second day playing New South and Queensland, and we just got it done.
How was Royal Melbourne for the week?
For the women's team?
Yeah.
It was amazing. You couldn't really have it any other, couldn't have a better course for the tournament. But it was a great experience playing both the women's and the juniors, which I loved.
Ashley, you've been the high performance manager of Victorian Golf for how long?
I really took over, Marco, in about September last year, so about...
smashing it.
About 9 months.
So, Ashley, you've been in the job for 9 months, and you've created history. So, have you got the double paycheck yet, or are they paying you double?
Bonus.
You explain. You've been around Victorian Golf for a long time. You explain how this is possible. Tell me how it's possible for every state team to win.
Look, I think... I'm not going to talk about the program, what we do in the high-performance area. It's reasonably well documented. But what I will say, and just listening to you and Craig at the start of the program here tonight, shows how much emphasis people put on representing Victoria. Pulling on the big V. It's only a small V on our shirts, but it means a lot to people. They remember it, they cherish it, and they want to play hard. And I think that really came through. We had some really great team spirit through all of the four teams throughout all of the series. And they really pulled for each other. And there was a lot of resolve in the team. And they played hard for each other.
Yeah. I follow you guys on Twitter and I couldn't believe you're tweeting photos of blokes like Ryan Ruffles and a few others, Ben Eccles, in ice baths. Now, I know a long time ago Richard Cooney was running the show and I remember Richard having a winning season. And he took all the kids into the beach. I don't know where they were. It might have been Tassie or something. But they're all in the beach like the AFL players do after 36 holes. When do we get to this ice bath level? Because
It's just part of the sports science side of high performance, part of the recovery that we do. Last year at the Heritage, when the juniors won, we all swam in the Yarra River, just down the road from the Heritage. This year we're out in Port Phillip Bay, up to our thighs, just recovering in the cold water. And Ryan took it a bit further into the ice bath for a happy birthday.
Right. Did you do it as well, Olivia?
Yeah, we did. We went down to the Cerberus.
How did you go?
Day.
Did you go down the Cerberus?
Yeah, so it was like completely dark when we went down. It was like 6 o'clock each night, just us randomly in
so
the water.
36 holes.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of practice, a little bit of
chat. Yeah.
You're the captain, all right, girls? Let's get down the Cerberus now
juniors,
and get up to our
next.
Not for
the juniors, but we did for the women's. Yeah.
And then back for a quick feed and into bed
pretty
to
much.
Do it all again.
Yeah, I'm a very early bed person as well. So.
Yeah, you need to be that week, don't you?
Definitely. It's so long, but, you know, it's
so,
worth it.
So you were in both teams.
I was.
You were in both winning teams.
Mm-hmm,
so,
I was.
All right. So the girls are one and the boys are one in the under-18s.
Yeah.
And now you've got a chance to make a three. Now, there's external pressure there, you know, because people are now starting to talk. I mean, I was calling you going, you can't win them all, can you? I was calling you going, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
So as a player, you know, you're as a captain in the junior, and then the boys win, and now, you know, two games out, it sounds like you had the bye in the last, you're going to win no matter what. But halfway through, you must have been thinking, righto, this is getting serious now. How did you deal with that external pressure?
To be honest, I don't think any of us felt much pressure at the women's. I know Ashley had the goal of us getting third place for both the juniors and the women's,
set the targets low, Ashley.
So, but, you know, we all just went out there playing our own games, not worrying about what was going to happen if we did win or if we did lose, and, you know, just enjoying it, which is why we play golf in the first place.
What was your personal record, Olivia? For the week.
For the week?
Yeah. In both. Yeah, the girls and the...
How'd you play?
Pretty well, yeah. I won two matches, halved one and lost one in the juniors, and I won two, halved three matches and lost one in the women's.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's at 3.5 points.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
And what number did you play?
For the juniors, I played number one, and for the seniors, I played number three.
So how old are you?
I'm 17.
So when do you turn pro? What happens there?
Got a bit of work to go left.
This is a serious question, Ashley, because you're in charge of high performance, and you know, I don't know what the stigma is, but there was for a long time about turning pro. Is it hard to let go? Do you want these kids around, or do you want to set them free and say, okay, go out and play against the best you can?
Well, we really only want to set them free when they're ready to do that. Olivia's started on a VIS scholarship this year. Mm-hmm. So she's under that regime now and that program, and they have proven themselves to be fantastic at transitioning elite amateurs into professional ranks, and the coaching staff there know the right time for that to happen. When they get enough experience and enough behind them to make their career a success.
Asher, thanks, mate. Hang around. And, Olivia, we want you to hang around because we've got a quiz a little bit later. It's Bo Hostler's Mum's Quiz. Sportsbet.com. They get a $100 gift voucher. But we need you to hang around and ask a question and maybe give whoever wins a little bit of help to see who's going to win the Players' Championship this week. Rightio.
Bowie Hostler's back too, did you hear? He won the Western Amateur.
Bo Hostler won the Western Amateur.
He won the Western Am. He put a bit of pudding back on too.
I knew that he was a podgy little kid.
He slimmed down.
And then he lost his weight and couldn't play. And then Craig Perry started eating donuts again. And now he's won the Western Amateur.
He put a little bit back on.
Was Mum watching?
Yeah, she was out there.
All right,
floating around.
Hey, we're coming back with your top 10 list. It's only five. And then also Joe Charlton, Ben Eccles and Ryan Ruffles just to round out the show.
Greg Spencer's Top 10 List, brought to you by absolutely nobody.
That's really cringeworthy. Really bad. The only top 10 list in the world that only has five places. Very rare, but let's go. Now, what are we doing tonight? The five most hated players to watch play golf?
For me, not for you.
Yeah, so I know it's your top 10 list.
Yes.
Which is actually just five. But go on, let's go.
Well, you told me to take it down to five, so that's why I've done that. All right, number five.
Yes.
Number five is Kevin Na. And I only put him in there.
It's a gimme.
Because when I did a bit of a straw poll over here,
yeah,
everyone said Kevin Na.
Kevin Na's in there.
So he's in. He's my number five.
That was a gimme. Well done.
Number four is Stuart Sink, because I hate his golf swing. I hate the fact that he pushes the club away from him on the way down and creates so much width. And it's just a crappy-looking swing, I wouldn't cross the street to watch him.
This is more like it.
All right.
99 Masters champion. This is what golf shows should be like.
Number three is Bill Haas.
What's wrong with
Bill? Because it's like watching paint dry. Okay? It is such vanilla rubbish.
He won the FedEx Championship not long ago.
Yeah, it's the only good shot I ever saw.
Up and
saw
down out of the water at the back.
Number two, three, similar here, Luke Donald. Luke Donald, if Luke Donald had stayed number one in the world, golf would be on a par with badminton at the moment, right? We'd be ranking, right? I tell you, would you seriously watch him hit balls?
Yeah, I'd rather watch. I like watching him play, but I understand what you're saying. It would be very much
our
plain
ratings,
vanilla.
Our ratings would be in the toilet.
How is badminton tracking at the moment?
It's down. It's huge in China. And number one,
righto.
Number one is our man Keegan Bradley. Oh. Because I've never seen, he's got that skinny, nerdy body. He wears red Michael Jordan shoes and hangs out with Michael Jordan, which he wears red Michael Jordan. He's got the worst back off pre-shot routine that makes Kevin Na look smooth.
And he won a major. He was the first person to win a major with the anchored putter as well, which I've never forgiven him for that.
He thinks he got that clothing contract with Tommy Hilfiger. And he thinks he's a hot dude. He thinks he's a model.
Well, we better shut this down.
All right, that's it. That's my top. That's my five.
Well done, Craig. I'm sure you'll get some feedback off the.
It's
feedback.
Already coming
you'll
in.
You'll get some
okay?
feedback off our feedback machine here, and you can give Craig some feedback on 0433 98 11 16.
I think this might have a regular place.
Oh yeah, no, 100% now. It is absolutely flying along. Let's welcome to the program Ben Eccles. Good on you, Ben. Thanks for coming. We appreciate it. Hey, just come a little bit closer to that microphone.
Get close to it.
Now, Ben, captain of the men's team, and this was the last piece of the puzzle. Was there any pressure standing on that first tee, knowing that it wasn't going to be front page history, but in golf here in Victoria, it was going to be a monster day if your team could get across the line.
Yeah, definitely. It was all the boys knew that we had that opportunity to take the four-peat. They were all pretty focused during the warm-up, and they played really well on the day, and we got the job done. So.
And Benny, you were captain. You were the one and only captain. Did you give him a big rev up at the start of the day, or how did you handle the captaincy on the final day when you knew it was four-peat time?
No, I just let the boys do what they did all week, and we got the job done all week, so I just let them do that.
So you didn't try to talk to them about the big day ahead. You just sort of let them get the job done.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they've done a really good job all week.
And what number did you play?
I played number four.
So you are sort of in the middle of the pack.
Yep.
Sort of guiding them through.
Yep, I had three good players ahead of me and three good players behind me, so I was pretty happy.
And did you win your match in the final?
No, I halved.
Okay, better than a loss.
Tell us about tell me, Ben, the feeling when you knew the team had won, and you knew that every team in Victoria had won their respective ones. What was that like? I mean, who hold that putt where everyone just went crazy? We've done it.
Well, I was finishing out on 18 to halve my match against Queensland, and then Fraser Droop came up to me and said, "Oh, we've won it." And I didn't really think what he meant, and he kept saying, "We've won," and it sort of hit me, and we ran back to see Brett Coletta and Ryan obviously winning, and we knew at that time that we'd done the four-peat, so it was huge.
Joe, come up to the microphone, Joe. It's nice to see you as well. Sorry about the small chair. You look like you're the little kid at the card table over there. But we appreciate you coming in, Joe. Tell us what it was like to captain a winning state team.
It's a real pleasure, a real thrill to be part of the team and to captain even more so. But we just had a fun week, and the girls really gelled really well together, and It was just, yeah, as I said, a real treat to be out there with them all.
And where were you when the winning putt went down? I mean, when you guys won, it became possible. That was a really, you know, important part, I guess, of the puzzle. The two junior teams win, but if the girls don't win, then the dream kind of stops right there. And who knows? Maybe the momentum stops there, and the boys don't get it. I mean, you just don't know. So, what happened when that winning putt sank when you were around?
I, like Ben, was coming up the 18th, so I missed out on all that action. But I our coach sort of tapped me on the shoulder as I was greenside and said, "Look, we've won." So it was a little quiet relief for myself because I was going square down the 18th. So I was very rapt to hear that news and put that little bit of pressure on the boys to win the title the next day.
A question for both of you. Match play is draining, isn't it? It's an unbelievable tester. It's something that every club golfer stresses over, trying to hold that small putt for the win the nine or win the money on the four ball comp. How did you guys? Was there a crucial moment for you in the week or a particular time through the week where you made a crucial putt or you did something special that made you think, well, I'm going to do it and we're going to do that this week?
From the women's point of view, we came away with some really close halves, yep, and 3-2 matches throughout the week. Like I said, Livy said before that she won, she halved 3 of her contests, and I think each of those are pretty crucial to getting us into the final. And as well, Grace Daniel went through undefeated. So those two were probably the highlight for the week, which got us the final spot. So
Ben, can you believe the standard of play? I was saying off air, the only one I played in, Brad Hughes, was our number one. He won every game and he was like 7 under par through every game he played up in Brisbane. It was just ridiculous. And the story's filtering back to us, following on. You know, we hear that, you know, Ryan was 10 under par through 15 holes at one stage, and the kid Felton from Western Australia was going absolutely ballistic. Mm. I mean, when you're involved and you see so many birdies being holed and, you know, the matches are kind of square when it's happening, can you believe the situation you're in and the mindset?
Not really. The standard of play for the Interstate Series, it sort of takes the next step up to the next level. And
why do you reckon that is? I mean, because a lot of these guys, and you've seen it all your life, some of these guys, they guess, you ask them to shoot 65 in a stroke event, there's no chance in the world they can do it. Yet in match play, something changes. What is it?
I think it's the competitive edge of every player. They just want to beat their competitor, and I think the concentration level goes up, and you know they just start making more birdies than they usually do. So it's really good, I guess.
You mentioned that you guys, I was talking to you guys about Huntingdale, and it's a pretty tight course. Tell us, you said you guys were playing a lot of irons off tee for position and stuff, and the Queenslanders were bombing it. Do you think at the end of the day that had something to do with you guys getting up?
They've never been very smart, the Queenslanders. Ever.
We're not holding back at here.
Oh, no, they're dumb.
But did you win a lot of holes? Did you win a lot of holes because they crashed their driver into the bushes and stuff?
Yeah,
or not?
Definitely. I think even off the first hole, it's a pretty tight hole.
Tight.
And I hit 2 iron off the tee every day, and I, you know, you'd win the hole with a par most days. So
really?
Yeah, I did, and I'd rarely lost a hole. So. But I think that was huge. Just the one percenters against the team like Queensland sort of got us over the line.
And Joe, tell us about Royal Melbourne. We'll get to Ryan in a tick. Tell us about playing at Royal Melbourne and, you know, getting on that golf course and the greens, you know, they're hard and fast. They're like nothing most people have seen. If you've never played Royal Melbourne, particularly if you haven't played in the last 5 or 6 years, the greens are extremely hard. They're like billiard tables. I imagine you would have had some knee-shaking putts around the place.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have 3-footers, and if you miss it, you're probably going to have 5 or 6 foot coming back. But it's it was awesome to be out there. I know when they announced that the girls were going to be there about a year prior, everyone was pretty pumped, and it was a great incentive to get into the team again. And obviously, hard greens, fairways are a little bit wider, so probably a few more drivers than the boys had to play at Huntingdale. And we played off sort of half of the men's tees as well, so 9 of our holes were played off the back markers, which nice. was a bit of a challenge for us as well.
Right.
It was the East course, though, Marco, wasn't it? The East course?
Yeah, we played the East.
I love the East course.
The Ripper. I think it's a harder course, though.
You didn't even have it in your top 10 last week of your favourite courses in Victoria.
No, because I went composite.
That's another story.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. I left someone out too tonight, yeah. Out of my top five.
Hey. But you can't have a top six.
I want to come back to it.
Yeah, we'll come back to it towards the quiz. Ryan Ruffles, of course, the world junior champion. Pretty handy member to have in any state team, I would imagine. Welcome back to Chasing Birdies, mate. You're here every week, or in spirit anyway, because we seem to talk about you a lot. Tell us what it was like for you. I mean, you've won World Junior Championships. As a 16-year-old, you've come 20th in Australian Opens. You're having practice rounds with Rory McIlroy and Adam Scott at Will. They're probably on speed dial.
They are.
They're probably on speed
Phil
dial.
Phil Mickelson's ringing, yeah.
What was it like for you to be involved in not only a junior team win, but a senior team win, and also all the teams winning in one year? What was it like? Compare it to some of the other things you've done.
Yeah, it was pretty special. I mean, I was lucky enough to be a part of a winning junior team the year before, and we had an amazing team. And to see four out of the five guys who were in that team move on and not be juniors this year, and to come back with a pretty much a new team and then win it again just goes to show, I guess, the depth we have in junior golf here in Victoria. And then, obviously, the girls were kind of a come-from-nowhere kind of win, which was incredible, and everyone is so happy about that. And then the women obviously won, and then, I don't know, somehow we managed to get the four-peat too, so that was incredible, yeah.
How was your week personally, Ryan? What'd you finish on for the week?
For the junior series, I won six and halved one.
Yep.
Undefeated. Had a tough time.
Undefeated.
Had a good couple of weeks in Adelaide.
Not much of a match player.
And then in the men's series, I didn't play so good. I won four and lost three, so...
You ran into a couple of buzzsaws, though, didn't you?
I did. I played a few good players who just...
Jared Felton?
Yeah, Felton had a great week. I think he was something like 25 under for however many rounds there was that week.
He had a nice week. I've just been told by Ashley Marshall that Ryan in Adelaide was 43 under par for his tournament for the week.
43?
For your matches.
For a stroke play and match play.
How many gimmies are in there? No, yeah, just kidding. No,
that's the thing with match play. It always sounds a few better.
my father-in-law used to take gimmies and then put his card in too.
Well, I think that's half the reason why you ask people why they can't shoot 65 in stroke play. There's a few gimmies that get counted.
Yeah, there are.
12-footers.
Hey, Ryan, it's always fun, and I reckon everyone in this room has been in a situation where you're playing match play and you just know this guy's got no chance of beating you. You just know. You know, you're about three holes in, and you're looking at him, and he's just all over the place, and you just know it's going to be a cakewalk. How many times did you think like that in the last one, the men's? Were there a couple at least?
Not really. I was six up through six in one of the matches, but he came back and then played a bogey-free back nine with three birdies, and I only won three and two. So we both birdied the last three, I think.
Yeah, right.
So it... Like, you can't afford to, I guess, approach a match like that, because the number one from every state, I guess, is going to be quite competitive regardless of where they're from.
Why do you think players who can't shoot 65 in stroke events regularly seem to do it in match play? What makes it different for these guys that do it every once in a while?
I think... you've kind of, especially if you're from one of the better states, one of the better ranked players, I guess, in your state or Victoria or Australia, you kind of got a bit of a target on your back, and the other person kind of feels...
It's a free hit?
A bit of an underdog, and if they lose, well, they're expected to lose, and if they somehow manage to get in the match, then that's kind of unexpected, and they've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. So kind of that attitude that's a bit harder to take in a stroke play, they're able to bring in the match play in.
Okay, so you are now on a bit of an upshoot like we haven't seen for a long time, maybe since, you know, your Robert Allenby and Bads type stuff. You've won nearly everything there is to win in Australia, Riversdale Cups, State Series, Juniors. What's next for you, Ryan, in terms of, is it now, are you already starting to think about world stuff and the US?
Winning pro events.
Yeah, and maybe, you know... Yeah, like he says, pro events.
Yeah, I guess me and Ben had our first kind of taste of being in contention at a pro event. We both came third at the Vic Open in the start of the year. It's a state open, but I guess it's a start. I'm going over to the UK for a couple months in the US and potentially getting some starts in some European tour events if it all works out all right. So just getting that experience of playing not just the Aussie Opens, Aussie Masters that are here nationally, but starting to get some international pro event experiences is kind of the next step for me.
We're going to see you at Royal County Down, do you think, the Irish Open? Just give your mate Rory a call and see if he can organise something.
If I'm lucky, I don't know. We'll see how that all pans out, and I'm trying to. But
well, he's the man. You got to really look at what he did a little bit, don't you? Because, you know, he came down here as a 16, 17-year-old as an amateur?
Yeah, he did.
And played?
I interviewed him at the Carousel during Masters Week.
He still talks about that.
He
does.
I remember looking at him. There was a bunch of amateurs there, and he was a full-on jockey. And I remember looking at him going, please, get out of here.
Yeah.
You're no good. I didn't even see him hit a shot. And just every year something crazy happened with that guy. Hey, I'd love you guys to hang around. We've got the quiz coming up. Bit of fun. Bo Hostler's Mum's Quiz. You can ask a question each. They're beautifully written tonight. I'm not sure who wrote these questions, but they're magnificent questions. And somebody is going to win a $100 betting voucher thanks to sportsbet.com.au. What are you going to say?
I should have had this guy as my number one. I was in a rush when I put this list together.
So this is the top six then.
Ian Poulter.
I like watching Poulter play.
He is a...
Why don't you like watching him play?
He is just ordinary. He is... complaining if he doesn't get a business class ticket for his missus and him. It's just, it's non-stop with Ian Poulter. He really should have gone in there, Marco.
Hey, last week we spoke about your sister too and not really knowing the situation. Your mum's out there, and for those who don't know who Ryan's mum is, it's Ana Maria Fernandez, who was once number 17 in the world. I'm going to ask her the real story of how long your sister has been playing, and we'll get this all in perspective. So that and the quiz coming up. Righto, welcome back. It is time for the quiz. Now, I've just retweeted a picture of all the captains, so jump on Twitter if you're there. Olivia Klein, Joe Charlton, Ryan Ruffles and Ben Eccles. They are too good, these kids, and it is time for Bo Hostler's Mum's Quiz. You're not reading them out tonight.
That's good.
Superstar.
Have you seen...
What?
Sorry.
What do you want me
what
to
What was that?
At?
Have you seen Tiger's golf swing at
there? Swing it like crap. Did you see it?
It's not looking too free through the ball, is it?
He said that he had to dust off a few cobwebs. I'm tipping he'll shoot 78 first round.
He walked off here last couple of times, really, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well, he's 125 in the world. And what do you do? He doesn't look like his swing's changed to me. Does his swing look like it's changed to you, Ryan?
No, it still looks all right. I think he'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was very smart political.
I'd take his bad swings, that's for sure. Right, let's get into it. 9429 1116. Ryan, you've got question number one there, buddy. And you're talking to Graham from Camberwell. G'day, Graham.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, and Graham. Girls. And girls, Graham.
And girls. And look, I've got to say, Keegan Bradley, Craig, he is infuriating to watch. And
Hey,
you've touched a nerve with that.
Graham.
Line. It's very good.
Graham, he lost a lot of supporters this week, didn't he?
Well, I reckon Jimenez had every right to snot him just for his first
shot. Because everyone loves Jimenez. He does his little, you know, he has his red wine at night. He does his stretches in the morning, and then big bad Keegan and his caddy tried to corner him.
there was a bloke in the on the Australian tour. The pre-shot routine was a bit strange too, wasn't it?
Who was that?
Hold his club out straight like a boom gate before he came down to hit the shot.
That was you.
Was that Craig Spence?
Yeah, Robo Pro. That's what you were called.
Robo Pro.
Robo Pro. Righto, Graham.
There you go.
Let's go. Ryan, question number one, please.
Righto. Rory McIlroy won the match play last week. Well done to him. How many times has he won the players?
Roars.
Yeah, Roars. You'd say Roars, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
G'day, Roars.
What do you call him?
Rory for now.
Right. How many times has he won the Players' Championship?
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
I'll say once.
That's a trick question.
Yeah, it is a trick
question. It's a trick question,
I would have given a clue, but he spoke for too long, old Graham. Get down to Mornington. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, g'day.
Sound
really enthusiastic
glum.
About being on the show tonight, Mike. Good for you. Now, did you hear the question, or are you going to make... Ryan, read it again.
No, I heard the question.
What do you reckon then?
None.
Mike?
You got it right.
You had a rough day, Mike, or what?
Shocking day. What have you done today, Mike? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong, mate.
Righto. Olivia, question number two, please. There's no numbers there, at least you have to actually use your finger to go to number two. Oh,
thank you. The fellow who is defending the defending champion this week at TBC Sawgrass is also the defender of the US Open. Who is it?
There you go, Mike.
Martin Kaymer.
Oh, how good are you?
That's a bit more upbeat, Mikey. I like that.
Just changed a little bit. All right, now this next one's going to be from Ben Eccles. Came third in the Vic Open, Mike. Tied with Ryan Ruffles. Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed.
You don't sound impressed to me. Anyway, question number three.
All right, so three Australians have won the Players, one of them twice. Who are they?
Three Australians.
The Elk?
Yes.
The Shark?
Yes.
I like this bloke.
Got one more. He's pretty good.
Five, four, three.
Come on.
That's goodbye.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was only two.
Mike. He's so googly.
No, I'm sorry, buddy. Mike. You're out of here. I was warming to him as well.
Yeah, I like him, Mike.
Like him one bit at the start, and then as we kept on going, he was started to be all right. Aaron's in Seaford. G'day, Aaron.
G'day, fellas.
That's
Aaron.
Better.
Right. Are you going to make us read the question again, or have you been listening?
How many more do I have to name? Just one more?
Oh. Yeah, just one more. So there's three Australians have won, and who have we named? We've named Elkington and the Shark.
Adam Scott.
Well done. Right, Joe.
He's upbeat.
You've got the money shot here, Joe.
Aaron, let's bring it home. Last question. All right, the fellow who won the first Players back in 1974 ended up winning three of them. And he's not such a bad player. Who is it?
He's a pretty good player, this bloke, Aaron. Pretty
so
good.
What year was the first one?
1974. So the bloke who won the first one, he won two others. And this bloke was a pretty good player, Aaron, if you know what I'm saying.
So I have to go with the bear, Nicholas.
What's that? That's the little one. He's won the whole thing. Give us the big donger. There we go. Well done, Aaron. You excited?
Yo, beauty, yes.
No, that's more like it. More like it. Righto. Now,
what's he won, Marco?
Rosa.
Wow, actually, we need some odds.
Yeah, Rosa is the favourite, Ryan, at $8. Whiz that microphone over and just go through a few of the others, please.
So we got, obviously, Spieth at $8.50. Yeah. Jason Day's not bad at $26.
$26, Jason Day.
Dustin Johnson at $36.
Do you reckon Jason Day's hitting it too hard at the moment, Ryan? I do. I'm critical of Jason Day. Swinging too hard. What do you think?
Maybe a little bit, but... All right, good. Yeah, okay. Good.
We're on the same line. Critical.
Louis Oosthuizen's looking pretty good after last week at 51.
What did he do last week?
He had a pretty good week last week. I think he got to the semis. Quarters.
Who else you got there?
Who else we got?
What about a few Aussies down the pack there? What about Leishman?
Yeah, Leishman, good week last week. I guess he just ran into someone a bit hotter. So he had 3-0 at the start.
What's he at?
Leishman is at...
Yeah, he'll be down there somewhere.
What do you think's going on with...
101.
100-1 Leishman.
That's not bad.
Aaron, if you put $100 on and Mark Leishman wins, you win $10,000.
Oh, he's a good Richmond man. Do you think he's up to it, though?
Yeah, I reckon he can win.
Yeah, he's been showing some form lately. Second at the Farmers Insurance, was it?
Yeah, he was. And his wife's been a little bit sick too lately, so maybe he'll do it for his missus. Put things in perspective. That's right. Anyone else you want us to look for, Aaron?
No, I'm a bit of a fan of Speed, but I thought Day was good value, but you've got me thinking about Leishman there now. I don't know.
Oh, mate, what are you going to do? Put it on Speed and win $800? Or you can put it on someone like Leishman and win $10,000.
He can play.
We'll never have the quiz ever again. They'll take it off us.
What was Jason Day at, though?
26.
2,600. That's not bad.
He's not going to win.
Buy a few pizzas.
You reckon? No.
I reckon he's hitting it too hard. Aaron, you watch him this week. The shaft bounces off his back. Shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen.
Yep.
Right. I'm going to go with Leishman then, right? I lock it in.
Leash. Imagine if we're close. Aaron, have you got a sportsbet.com.au account?
I do not.
Well, Aaron, can you set one up when you get off the phone? Make sure you stop driving. And when Matty Campbell gives you a call tomorrow, we'll slip that $100 special on for you.
Oh, I might be in the studio there next week, I reckon.
Yeah, nude. It'll be fantastic. Good on you, Aaron.
Cheers.
See you, Azza.
Aaron from Seaford. Come on, Mark Leishman. That'd be huge.
Yeah,
that would
be
huge. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. It's been fantastic. And I know that, you know, like we said before, it wasn't front and it wasn't back page news. But for people in golf in this state, it was remarkable. It was impossible. In fact, I still don't believe it happened. Congratulations.
Thanks. Good on you.
Thanks for having us, guys.
It was massive. It was massive. And Ashley, jump on, Asha, just real quick. Ashley Marshall, the high performance manager of Golf Victoria. Asha, congratulations to you. I've known you for a long time, since I was a little kid and first joined Huntingdale. But
since you were a kid, Marco. Yeah, it is a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. Thank you for coming in, mate. We don't know what you're doing, but keep on doing it.
I can't tell you what I'm doing because New South Wales will find out.
That's true. That is.
Hey, what did the bosses say? I'm curious. I'm curious. I mean, you've been in the job since what, September? You said before.
Yeah, about 9 months.
What did the boss? What did you know, all the big boys say down there at Golf Victoria?
Well, Stephen Pitt, the CEO of Golf Australia, came up to me and said, obviously, you'll be getting a pay rise.
Yeah,
and,
good. Good on you, Pitty. It's nice.
So it's very nice of Stephen. Hopefully that filters down to our state. But, look, everybody is really chuffed by it. It's a great group of people we've got playing both junior and open age golf, and they're a credit to the sport and to themselves as people.
Good on you, Asha. Congratulations again.
Well done, crew. Good stuff.
You got anything inspiring to say? You got 1 minute. Do you want to add anyone else to your top 10
No,
list?
I'll say this.
There you go.
I've been thinking through the week about how boring golf's been since, not this golf, I mean PGA Tour golf.
I don't think so.
And I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited by, you know, they went to New Orleans. I mean, who watches that?
I didn't watch
then
it.
Then the match play sort of, it's a bit
yawny. Yeah, no, I like watching the
yawny
match play.
I'm excited about this week. When I need stuff like Tiger. I need Tiger up and about.
Yeah. You need an Island Green?
I need an Island Green on the 17th. I'm not talking it down. I'm just saying that sometimes it's good to get
to
that next big event.
You're not going to go back to your less is more and just get rid of all the tournaments and just have 10 tournaments like they do in the NFL. Is that, if we're going to go back there? Or
No.
Got rid of that
less,
dream.
Less definitely is more, but... It's good to have the Sawgrass event back.
Yeah. Hey, can you bring your gold jacket in next week? I want to tweet out a photo of you doing the show in your gold jacket from 99.
No, don't be silly.
Thanks again, guys. Finally, if you're listening, thanks for letting us talk golf on your show, mate.
It's been fantastic.